He struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Ah, yes. How are you, my friends? Hope you're doing great. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insights on the Progressive Radio Network. Wednesday, kind of a funky day here in New York City. It's the big thaw, though. We are very happy about that. A week ago today, it was about 15 degrees. Now we're at 35, 37 degrees. So long, snow. No more frozen tundra. Yeah, maybe where you are, it's still a frozen tundra. Hopefully not. And if you're out in the West Coast, you're still getting some funky weather out there as well. So thinking about you guys. Got a great show coming your way. You're going to learn about a new initiative called New HD Media by Zach Martin. Zach is a New York City longtime broadcaster, colleague, friend, peer, everything of mine. Great dude. You're going to meet him, learn a lot about this platform where persons with disabilities are creating amazing radio. And no matter where you are listening to my voice right now, you too will be able to listen to New HD Media. Before you meet Zach, I want to talk to you about books. I've long had the idea of writing a book. My wife and my friends keep saying to me, Mark, you have all this great material that's screaming, write a book. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And about 2 years ago, at least 2 years ago, I wrote an outline of all the topics, all the subjects, all the colorful items that are G to semi-X that should appear in a book of mine. From obviously a lot of personal stories, professional stories, a lot of great radio professional stories. As you can imagine, broadcast world is very, very colorful and entertaining, even off the camera and behind the microphone. Yes, very much so. So I did write a first chapter, and it came out very easily. And then I never did anything with it. I was really bad. Because it does take dedication, it does take intense amount of time delving into, I guess, parts of your life that maybe sometimes you'd rather forget, if you know what I mean. But certainly it just takes discipline. You got to set aside a lot of time, and I just didn't do it. Until recently, someone asked me to contribute a chapter to a book on reinvention. And I was like, wow, well, that's a great topic. I love talking about that in front of corporate audiences and youth as well, about, you know, creating your persona, expanding upon who you are, becoming a better version of who you are. So I was intrigued, and I met this person through a client of mine who I worked for several times for out in California. And they have this connection of someone out in Ireland. And this person is a former Coke executive who reinvented herself. And she's intrigued by the whole notion, how people are doing this more and more often and feel that they need a template or stories of, let's say, maybe example or stories that'll fuel them to feel that they can do it too. Yeah, why not, right? We all need that little bit of push, whether it's through story, example, real life example, certainly. And I was like, okay, great. And they wanted 5,000 words. I'm like, 5,000 words. First thing I did is Google, how many pages, type pages is 5,000? I'm like, okay, 5 pages typed? I can do that, no problem. So I started writing it, and guess what? To my surprise, it just flowed out. It really just poured out of me. My wife's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh, I got 3,000 words down. She's like, 3,000 words? You were down there for like 2 hours. I'm like, yeah. It just came out. She's like, wow. Anyway, it just flowed out of me. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't that much work at all. In terms of, I guess the hardest part was, more challenging, I should say, not hard, was stories to include versus stories not to include, because you really don't have a lot of time. And I wanted to keep it, obviously, very true to form about how I decided to take a step out of radio back in 2011 when the digital medium was becoming very prominent, and how I decided to become a speaker, the whole metamorphosis, and how I delved into it in terms of researching it, dabbling into it. Did I think I had the chops? What audiences would I tap into? How could I excel? What did I think my credentials were to excel in the field of speaking. So all those different things I share, my first talk, how I felt I would be different in this field versus, you know, the other, who knows, thousands and thousands of people who do this as well. What was different about me that I was bringing to the table? So I thought, yes, being a radio personality, having a lot of experience in radio in different facets, creative services director, being a talk show host, DJ, music format, all the different formats I've worked, and certainly being a host in front of crowds, in front of Madison Square Garden, where there's thousands and thousands of people, to smaller venues where there's 2,000 people, to being at the foot of the World Trade Center, the former World Trade Center, where I used to host concerts, to Special Olympic events, to events where I would speak to 3,000 persons with disabilities. So I had all that experience, and I amassed all this, and I think it came out good. And actually, so I had to submit that in mid-October, and I got the first draft back, actually, the one and only draft that I got back from the editor, and I really like it. They kind of streamlined it a little bit. They took out my entire first part of the opening, and the first part of the opening went like this. Imagine being stuck in a room with Kenny G for hours. Even you would consider a lifing, what did I say, something like, even you would consider a career change just to get out of that scenario. Something like that. Basically, I'm telling a story about how I worked with Kenny G 2 years in a row. 1 year, he came to the radio station. I recorded him because he didn't want to play live. Some musicians do not want to play live on the radio. I don't get it. It's a 3-minute song, 4-minute song, you play live. How bad can it be? I mean, this is what you do for a living. You perform worldwide on stages to thousands of people. And you can't get into a soundproof room and play on the radio live? I don't know. Basically kind of confuses me. So anyway, Kenny G comes in. I record him. He loved it. It was over the moon. Mark, you did such a great job. You're amazing. Yada, 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 whatever. The next year he comes in, does the same thing. Wants to record one song live. No problem. I've done this with Kenny and countless other A musicians before. Diana Krall, George Benson, not Pat Benatar, who's going to say, Chrissy Hynde, like so many different people. And I'm recording him and he's not liking the playback, what I record and playback. He's like, well, I don't like the effect of the reverb. So I'm giving him different options. After like an hour, he's like, you know what? I'm going to call my sound engineer. I'm doing a show at the Beacon Theater tonight. I'll have him come down. I'm like, okay, whatever you like there, Kenny G. So this goes on for a while. I finally excuse myself. I go to my program director's office. I'm like, hey, listen, you got to get this guy out of my office, my studio, because he's driving me bonkers, man. I don't care if he's our P1 top rated artist, which is like, you know, hard to believe and understand. But you got to get this guy out of my office. John Mullen was my former program director. He's like, Mark, I totally get it. Just hang in there, man. Hang in there. I'll buy you lunch, dinner, drinks, whatever you need to do. So, P.S., the guy comes in. I play him. This is Kenny G, sound tour sound engineer. I play him what I did, and he's like, that's fine. That's good. And I'm like, yeah, but he's not into it. So he moved a few things and parameters, and, you know, I couldn't tell the difference between his and mine. And anyway, Kenny G was like, wow, you're so great, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that was my Kenny G story. I thought that was a great way to start the chapter. Basically, like, as a wink, wink, like, this is why I'm getting out of radio. And this is why I'm considering a career change, because I don't want to work with Kenny G or the sorts of that. So I thought it was kind of a bit of a funny chuckle. Again, a wink, wink. But they nixed it. And I have to go with them because, you know, they're the experts. These are the publishers. And this is pretty fascinating. You know how in the United States, it takes a solid year, a good year, to get a book published. Now, I'm not talking about self-publishing, sending it off digitally and getting, you know, a case of books back in 2 weeks. I'm talking about the traditional route. And when I spoke to this person, who's the author, I should say, the editor of the book, rather, in Ireland, she said, oh, it's going to be out in February. I said, oh, February 25? She goes, no, of 2024. I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, well, this is so ironic because, you know, the American publishing world does not move that fast at all. She's like, no, this is pretty standard. So I'm very excited. There's going to be about 29 other contributing authors, again, all on reinvention, one book, and I think she's writing the introduction to it, the woman who's my connection. And I'm really excited because I think it's going to have a lot of different input from people from all over the spectrum in terms of professional careers, platforms, industries, and I'll learn a lot. And hopefully my story will make people smile, as well as give them insight into what worked for me, what didn't work for me, and what continues to be a struggle. Because when you're a small, I mean small, business owner, because it's just me, myself, and I, all three of us, you know, I solicit gigs, I speak to corporations, human resources directors, any decision maker, pitch them on what my topic would be, how it would benefit their employees or staff, managers, directors, retreats, whatever the case may be. Follow up, follow up, follow up, cost negotiation, planning, strategizing, etc. And then marketing, writing my material, customizing my talks. And my talks, I'm not standing there in front of a podium looking at charts, and you know, they're very colorful, a lot of animation, a lot of interaction with the audiences, which is great. That's what I think sets me apart. A lot of humor, a lot of self-deprecating humor. And of course, 90% of the stories are all about me. All my failures, most of my failures in life, and how I learned from them and how I catapulted myself forward in life to, of course, some of my successes as well. But maybe how I failed certainly several times, not out of the gate, succeeding wise, until I was able to understand and improve upon my skills to make myself more successful. So there's so much to do. The social media aspect, the researching aspect, the cold calls, the follow-ups, the chasing people down to get the jobs, to get the money. And then, of course, actually give a talk. Yes, like I'm all these different things. And then, oh, yeah, shoot, I got to give a talk. It's like, yeah, I did all this work. And people are like, oh, you get paid that much money to be up on stage for an hour? I'm like, yes, but you have no idea of the lead up to that. It could be months. It could be even a year or two. I actually worked on a client for several years, and I broke them down. It was for a lot of different, they weren't adverse about having me on stage. It was a timing thing. They just were overworked and understaffed. They couldn't even wrap their head around having someone in their company. There was a multitude of things, but it was a prime example. And I actually use this in my talk now, how persistence really paid off for me. And it has on many, many occasions, but there are three or four occasions where I am very polite, but I'm relentless. Again, polite, professional, but relentless. Hey, just a reminder. Hey, this is what I could do for you. Just following up. Let's get together. Let's connect. Let's talk. I'll come by. Let's swing by. Let's have a call. Let's do a Zoom. Whatever it takes, I will land that job. And I know you will too. So maybe 24 is your year. So in a nutshell, if you are considering a career change, what can you do now instead of just quitting your job if you're financially stable enough and comfortable enough to do so, to prepare you research-wise? Can you volunteer in your field before you make a switch? Because sometimes you never know what actually comes to true, what actually comes to life may not be what you anticipated or dreamed of. So dabbling in the field, putting one foot into it, whether it's working part-time, volunteering, talking to people in that field, and learning, wow, okay, this is something I'm really into. Maybe you'll even be more fascinated and more interested in it. Or maybe you'll be like, whoa, I never realized that function or capacity or facet of the industry would be something that would be a major variable. So there's all kinds of ways to get involved before you actually change the entire structure of your life right now. And I urge you, and I'll share obviously when the book is out and how it would be available. I have no financial gain in this whatsoever. My gain is for you to gain knowledge, experience, and maybe some insight and excitement to do something different, whether it's personally or professionally. So I'll keep you posted on that. But again, if that's something you've always dreamt about, don't delay. Really make this change very, very soon. Now, I'm not talking about like quitting the job. Make the change in terms of the way you think. Don't lock yourself in as that accountant, or you're a PR specialist, or you work in hotel restaurant management and you're just dying to get out. Explore. Even just the act of exploring, knowing that there's options and possibilities for you out there, will make you feel better and you'll get excited. I promise you, because I've done that. Even looking for jobs when I was in radio, I'm like, all right, there are other options out there if the radio thing doesn't work out. And the radio thing has worked out, but what hasn't worked out is the actual industry itself. It's gone through a lot of ebbs and flows. We were doing pretty well nationally until COVID hit, and we're eking our way back up there. But it is, you know, it's a trying industry. But I love it because I get to connect with people like you. There's nothing like impacting lives. And speaking of impacting lives, Zach Martin has been in New York City radio for a couple decades. Great guy. He is a parent with a child with a disability, and he's doing so much for her and so much for every person with a disability out there and for each and every one of us, because he's proving that persons with disabilities are great DJs, air personalities, music programmers, entertainers, and so much more. So I spoke with Zach a while back. I want you to hear this again because this is a great interview. Enjoy. Zach Martin on the Progressive Radio Network. So it's no secret that I love radio and that I love audio and most importantly, improving lives. And my friend, we are kindred spirits in this area. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. It's great to be part of your show.
When did the fruition of New HD Media come to you?
This has been a process over many years. It started out as a completely different project. And then when I realized the remote technology of broadcasting and some of the adaptive technologies that are out there, I started to think, well, this would be a great way for people who don't have the ability to leave their home because of a disability to participate in the workforce, to participate in media. And the first concentration was people with autism because they're underserved. People with autism are underserved, and there are not many viable career choices for people with autism. So when I started this out, I'm like, all right, great. I know a couple of things by observing some autistic kids that I know. They're always on their mobile device or their iPad. It's how a lot of these kids communicate. That's great. They like music. Love music.
Very passionate.
Really enjoy it. It soothes them. And they love being on social media as well. I know kids that are all over Facebook and Twitter and the different platforms. So I thought, well, at the very least, I can have some of the people that are on the autistic spectrum help us out with social media because they love that space. And then as I started putting it together, the whole platform together, I realized, no, man, this is fantastic. Some of these people on the spectrum are great at scripting, right? They know lines in movies and stuff like that.
Verbatim.
And I thought, right, verbatim. And I'm like, one of the problems with most radio personalities, and you know this, Mark, we get really bored. We get really bored. And then we get this thing where I want to be the best on-air person of all time, the best disc jockey. I got to interject my personality, which is great. But I think you know that a lot of disc jockeys, including ourselves, would go a little bit overboard on that, right? And deviate from the format that program directors put together. And that program director, by the way, whether you like that person or not, that person is responsible for everything that happens on the air. So you kind of have to defer to the head coach of the team. And that person is, you know, using his or her best judgment to put the disc jockey's in the right place at the right time and playing all the music. And you know how you and I are. We hate this song. I'm going to drop it, switch it with somebody else, which causes other problems too.
A flurry of emails.
Yeah. Well, not to mention, and this is a little bit of a distraction, I guess a detour. I remember being on Y100 in Philadelphia, and we had this billboard that would do now playing. And if you switched the song, it would screw up the billboard.
That's so hysterical.
Right. Your program director knew when you were screwing around. The whole world could see it.
So, that is priceless.
Yeah.
So Zach Martin, as a longtime New York City radio personality, you know the power of being on the air and to create a platform for persons who may not have the opportunity. First of all, media in general is extremely competitive, but to give persons with disabilities, special needs, a platform is just priceless.
I would agree with you, and it's life-changing. I can give you a couple of examples of
that.
Please
do.
I will, in order to understand the meaning of New HD, we have to take a tour of radio history a little bit before we get to the impact it makes on lives. We're all well aware of 102.7 WNEW-FM New York, where rock lives. We all know the great personalities of the past, whether it's Scott Meany or Charlie Kendrick.
Let me interject here for our international audience. That was the hub of rock and roll in New York City for decades.
Yes, an entry point for many of the artists that were overseas coming to America. I've heard story after story, whether it's Emerson, Lake and Palmer or the Beatles or solo Beatles, you name it. Elton John is really part of who he is today is because of NEW and Scott Meany. But anyway, in the beginning of the pandemic, I was scratching out an idea of concept. And what I really wanted to do was take that 102.7 HD2 signal that's available in New York and use it for a non-for-profit that would bring back NEWFM or Rock Lives. Well, that didn't work out. And being the type of personality I am, I said, well, the hell with it. I'm doing it anyway, folks. So that is the incarnation of New HD New York, where rock lives. And sometime you'll hear the disc jockeys go NEWHD New York, where rock lives, to give it that sound. Mm-hmm. And then we added Scott Meany's Ticket to Ride and Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop and the Psychedelic Snack and all of those things that we all grew up with. So
staples.
Yeah, that's really cool. Then the imaging really brings the station to life. That's the thing you hear between the records, like New HD New York, where rock lives and all of that stuff.
Another one of Zach Martin's specialties.
Right. And that enabled our workforce, our disc jockeys, to just go in there and do a process called voice tracking. So now we'll get into some of our personalities. The first one is the world famous Bobby Vinton. You can go to newhdmedia.com and see his profile. Born blind, had, I think, some sort of neuroblastoma that was operated on when he was little. Born without eyeballs, just to be graphic, right? And was bullied. Now, I don't know what goes through the mind of anybody that bullies a blind kid on the autistic spectrum, but geez Louise, let's
unfathomable.
Stop that.
Unfathomable.
Right? Unfathomable. Yes. That's on the parents, by the way. So Bobby grew up listening to NEW as well as CBS FM. So Bobby is at home in isolation. And I'll tell you the story, rocking back and forth in the living room, and he can't see anything and he's not included in anything. And so I reached out to Bobby through his family and I said, okay, Bobby, I think that you'd make a great disc jockey. You grew up listening to CBS FM. In fact, everybody on the staff knows Bobby.
Outstanding. Up, yes. Frequent right? listener. Yeah.
Yeah. So we go, well, you're the world famous Bobby Vinton. And the reason why I did that is because we all know Bobby Vinton, Blue Velvet, right? Polish Prince. And I said, "Now that's perfect because people are like, I've heard that name before." And I have Sophie, my daughter, who is my right-hand guy, helping me out. And we send Bobby the playlist of what songs he's going to talk into, right? And Bobby gets it, and he's got a reader that tells him. And I trained him on the open, the middle, and the close of every single radio break. For anybody listening, there's a formula to it in music radio. You always start with the name and address, 102.7 WNEW, where rock lives. That's the address, right? And then you say your name, and you do a little brief thing about the artist, and you go into the next song, and you close with New HD New York, where rock lives. So I was teaching that formula, and Bobby took to it easily. And it's changed his life. Now he's included, and he really it's invigorated him, and it's really has a profound change on him and his family and his life.
If you don't mind me interjecting, because we really need to underscore the importance of this. Here is an individual that was throwing a lifeline out to something he couldn't see but could hear, and was a platform for him to live inside his own four walls of his home for years and years. And now he's a part of this.
Yeah, we flipped the script. Now he's the superstar.
Yes.
Right? So there's that the confidence building that goes along with it. Then we have and this is another interesting thing. We have a couple of blind broadcasters that are on the spectrum. I never expected that, right?
And you're talking to a partially blind broadcaster.
Okay. So then you understand that.
You didn't know that about me, Zach?
I had no idea.
I'm visually impaired. These are just magnifying lenses.
Okay.
Yes.
So Emily Payton is out of Nashville. Here's another thing about the technology. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. You can be part of our team as long as you have a laptop,
1,000%, internet connection, yeah,
and a USB microphone. So Emily is a little bit different. I had to develop a more automated process for her because she's been doing radio for a while, and she understands how to make MP3 files. Right? Everybody listens to MP3 files. And so here's the trick. She will do her Saturday and Sunday show from her iPhone using Backpack Studio. I got to tell you, I don't know how she does it, but she does it. And it's fantastic.
It sounds phenomenal.
So she'll send the file copies to me, and we break them up in segments. And what I do is I use Dropbox that goes into the automation that's all preset for her show to be delivered to New HD New York, New HD LA. We've got two stations. That has been liberating for her, in that you and I both know, Mark, that when you get a job, especially in music radio, there's not a program director in the world that's going to let you pick all your music.
Except
for me, where I said to Emily, I go, Emily, I trust your judgment on the songs that you play. Make it your show. Share your music with people with the passion that you have, and just pay attention to what goes on in New York and what goes on in LA, and merge it together so that it makes sense to both audiences, right? Perfect. Great show. She, and I will say this, here's an advantage of being blind. Her hearing and Bobby's hearing depends. Their life depends on their hearing. So they hear music a lot better than I'll ever hear.
Very keenly.
Right? So I trust their judgment.
Tell me about CJ. He's interviewed CJ. A few prominent people.
Yeah, I just heard from CJ today. He's CJ at the movies was really our first hire at New HD before we added any kids on the spectrum or with other disabilities. CJ was introduced to me. I thought he's fantastic, or I think he's fantastic. And he does these great movie reviews that are phenomenal. And he's done interviews with just about every star you can imagine. And the best one is Henry Winkler. I mean, you got to see that. I think you can go to CJ at the movies, look him up, Google it. And maybe at newhdmedia.com, I think we do at the bottom of the page, have that interview with Henry
Winkler. You do. And Henry is so sweet with him.
Yeah.
And so gracious and so giving of his time.
Right. And the funny part is CJ stops to take a drink of water. He goes, hello, CJ, I'm here. And I thought that, you know, that really is, I think, the epitome of the hearts that we have collectively of these kids. You know, I visited a project called Love Michael, LUVMichael.org, and they make granola, and they're all kids with autism, and it's located in Soho, right around the old AT&T building, and it's amazing granola. It's fantastic, and they put together fundraisers for schools and Little League and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
Great system. So I showed up, and these are kids in their 20s and 30s, and they're making granola. They call them granologists. They get paid very well.
This is great.
They get paid very well. And they took a break to do an art project, and we made a collage. And every one of them, I noticed something in common. Their theme was hearts and love. And I started to get a little bit emotional because I could see that without this Love Michael organization, without Dr. Lisa, they wouldn't have anything. And I look at the future for a lot of these kids, and I call them my kids because, as you know, I'm a Russian Orthodox priest, so it's part of my ministry too. Think about that. Russian Orthodox priest is into classic rock. I must drive those bishops nuts.
On many levels, my friend.
So I'm looking at this, and as you know, long term, there's over 6 million that we know of, probably up to 12 million by now, that are on the spectrum. Now they're getting in their 20s and 30s and older. There's no real long term
aging out of schools,
all of those
facilities,
and none of us parents are immortal, right? So what happens
yet?
Right. So there's a lot of problems that I can see and I'm well aware of, and it's my hope that we can get New HD where it needs to be, so that we have an imprint in all 50 states, so that
that's your long term goal. Yeah.
The long-term goal.
Much but more also, opportunity and have a great dialogue. And what a fantastic way for the community to feel alive. And we're not just talking about persons with
autism. We got blind people. We have people with spina bifida. We've got people in wheelchairs. We've got disabled vets.
Multiple
disabilities. I've never said no to someone who wants to be part of the team. I find a way.
How could you not?
You know, and then there's other things besides being on the air. You could do, there's IT solutions that are needed.
Social media.
Yeah. This is social media. This is cloud-based, by the way. So we could go cloud the tower. So it's really dynamic. We can put together a station if we needed to for any company within 48 hours, if you really had to push me. And we have the app, right? And then we have the website and graphics. And then, you know, people will be accountants. I mean, I don't know how to do accounting. I stink at that. We need people that can help fundraise. So there's all kinds of different levels. And just so that if you're listening right now, the structure of it for the time being is under Sophia's mission, which is a 501c3. And New HD Media is a DBA, do business as, under that 501c3.
Under the umbrella.
Right. And I want to educate people, if you don't mind, Mark, about 501c3s. It's something that's very important.
As well as Sophia's mission and how that was started and why it was started.
Okay. Before you give your money to a non-for-profit, especially when they're federally registered, you should always look on the IRS.gov, find there's a charity finder, look up the organization, and check out their 990s. And see what they're doing with their money. It's very important to look at that because
990 is an expenditure item.
990 is like a 501c3's tax returns.
Oh, I see. The tax return. Gotcha.
You know, a lot of church organizations, they don't need to do that. So they probably, you won't find it. But by and large, you really have to look at those, whatever the organization is, because I think that you should know what your money is being used for. Right. You really should know that. And pay attention to how much the people on that board or the executives are making as well. Just pay attention to that.
Yes. Very, very bloated. I mean, that is a world that just really, really is mind blowing in terms of executive directors. On the average, can make $500,000.
I would say on the average, probably a fair is 125 to 150, which is more than fair.
I'm talking about national ones.
There's some guys making over a million.
Oh, yeah. It's
with bonuses.
Disgusting.
And they're all making 600, 700. And you think that they're helping people and they're not. And then, I digress. Let's get out of that. I just want to make people aware. So Sophia's mission was started about 15 years ago as St. Sophia's mission. And it was an organization that focused on people living with HIV. And we were working with Buddies of New Jersey. And at that time, when I started to minister to people with HIV, it was almost as if I was entering a hospice each and every time. Like people were dying. Now it's a more manageable disease, plenty of resources, a lot of, knowledge of transmission, how to prevent it.
And then maintenance.
Right. And the maintenance and the therapies, all those things that go into it. And it's stabilized. And then I'm a part of a housing committee that helps find homes for people that are living with HIV. But as that got stabilized and I saw what was happening to people on the autistic spectrum and with disabilities, I didn't like what I was seeing. For instance, there's an issue of sub minimum wage. It is legal. You could check this out, to pay somebody as little as 23 cents an hour if they're a disabled person in your organization.
Federal law?
Federal law, sub minimum wage. You should check it out. And there's another aspect of this called community-based instruction. And I'll just make it very simple. You have a kid who's in high school that has disability, such as autism, could be Down syndrome. And the idea is to teach them how to work. So local businesses, and there's grants that are given to learning institutions, to the high schools and to the businesses, I suppose. They have the kids come over and they learn how to fill salt and pepper shakers and do menial tasks, and they work for free. Now, I got to say that if you're going to teach somebody the value of work, you should also teach them that you're rewarded for the work and you get paid
compensation
for the
work. Absolutely.
Okay? Especially when there are grants going for that purpose. Now, in that case, yeah, you're training. So maybe a sub minimum wage structure for that period, because it's instruction plus you're doing work, you get $5 an hour, whatever it might be. Fair enough. I could swallow that.
Yes, me as well.
But to have basically what is a free workforce, which is slave labor, that is unacceptable.
No. I thought we were way past that as a society.
No, if people only knew how, I don't want to use the word corrupt, but to me, that's a form of corruption, right?
Well,
they're
taking advantage of a population and the government's permitting it.
Yeah, exactly. And I brought this up to certain politicians, and every time I bring it up, the subject is quickly changed. Right. So we have to do something about this whole sub minimum wage concept. Right now, as a 501c3, our workers are mostly volunteer because I don't have the funding to pay them. But I'm teaching them skills, changing their lives. So that's a good thing. The model is that every single one of our disc jockeys will get $25 a shift. It only takes 15 to 20 minutes to do the shift. So that is far superior than as little as 23 cents. And it also doesn't interfere with their SSI.
Very much so. But I imagine at this stage, new HD media is not that fluid in terms of solvency. Something that I'm sure you're working on, potential donors, partners. So if anyone listening would love to contact New HD Media, it's contact@newhdmedia.com, contact@newhdmedia.com.
I think that this is really a community project that needs all hands on deck to help.
Absolutely.
Support. Creating jobs for people and remote jobs is an amazing thing. It matches technology with the situation that people find themselves in. I also will work with primary caregivers. Let me just say this, that we have a professional broadcaster that's on the staff who does nights, who's amazing. His name is Stash, who has a severely autistic child who is in a group home. All right. And when you find yourself living in a house and you have somebody who's severely disabled, you're the primary caregiver. You can't leave.
All consuming.
Right. And I'm going to say something that is shocking, but a lot of these disabilities for the primary caregiver, for the parent, can be a career killer.
Yes.
Because
it can.
Right. You can't always make the meetings. You can't always, sometimes you have to call out. And there's a lack of understanding and education on people. They have these ideas about, you know, they don't know. They're not in your shoes. I'm not in their shoes.
The responsibilities. So, yeah. But we're hoping that COVID hopefully changed that, because everyone was sidelined. So now CEOs, directors are understanding, parents have a huge and paramount responsibility. Maybe we have some more and greater understanding of that role.
I think working together makes us a better society overall. Yes. Having our kids in our lives that they can see how mom and dad works is a great, great experience. Mm-hmm. I will say that I find it extremely interesting that at the beginning of the pandemic and during the pandemic, a lot of these companies were all about remote work. And as soon as it didn't suit them anymore, when the pandemic is quote unquote over, which it's not, then the remote work was not so favored, right? We see that trend slipping back. And why? Because they realized that they spent way too much money on their real estate and they want it utilized, I guess, or this idea of, you know, in-person camaraderie. I don't know, but I will say this. I've built a real effective cohesive unit by phone calls, emails, texting, and sometimes on occasional Zoom, but it's like still one-on-one. And I've become really good friends with a lot of people that I've never met in person. So you can't tell me that remote work doesn't work.
And take that a step further. Your product is actually touching people's lives through a speaker, not in person.
That's right. And here's something to think about. FDR, who was in a wheelchair, won a war from behind his desk. Okay.
Underscore that. All right. How can people?
The internet. He didn't have Zoom, and their communication systems were like not what they are today.
No, far from.
Just think about that for a second.
Great point. So, Martin, how can people get New HD Media? They can go on the website, newhdmedia.com. It's on Apple, it's on Google Play.
You can download the radio app. And let me tell you something, that app is totally awesome.
It is awesome.
You're going to have a real radio experience and you sync it up with your Apple CarPlay and you're driving around New York City. And there is your station, NEWHD New York, where rock lives with some of the personalities you remember, definitely the music and new music too, because none of us really want to become old fogies where we're, you know,
no,
we don't
we
know
want
what's
to stay
going
relevant.
On with the new stuff. Yeah, we don't want to be Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. No, we don't want to do that.
And I love how you have these great names and better people associated with New HD Media, including Dave Mason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm glad you brought
that
up.
What a great guy. So,
Dave Mason and I have been friends for 20 plus years. He met my daughter Sophie when she was just a little baby. So did Mick Fleetwood, by the way. It was very funny. And we've always kept in touch. We really do enjoy each other's company. And so when he saw what I was doing, he's like, "Hey, Zach," in his English accent, "I would really like to help you out with Sophia's mission and New HD Media. Let me do a video. Can I be the national spokesperson?"
He asked you.
Yes. He contacted me and I said, "Yeah, absolutely. Love to have you as the..."
No, there's a long list of people ahead of you.
Well, you know what? He didn't ask me specifically. He asked me how he could help. And
that's great.
Right. Okay. And we're working with the Bird Nest Foundation to put together a fundraising video that Dave will play on stage when he tours. So you get the big video in the back. It introduces what we do.
You can't pay for that.
A lot of the artists have been just amazing in their willingness to help us. Most of the up and coming artists, especially, have been really willing to help us out.
Well, that's kind of the world that they live in. You know,
yeah.
It's give and take. I mean, their word and their music and their presence is on social. They get it.
They're also beautiful people.
Yeah, they are.
There's a band called Trope. I'd like everybody to check out Diana Studenberg, who's the lead singer. Amazing. During the height of the pandemic, she found a way to go on tour in Eastern Europe. There's Whitney Tye, who is an amazing artist. You want to check out Whitney Tye music. And I've noticed something in this journey of mine. We really, it's not on purpose, but the name is Sophia's Mission, which is a woman. It was a saint. Okay. And her daughters are Faith, Hope, and Charity. So St. Sophia's mission inspires Faith, Hope, and Charity. That's our mission. And I find that one of the necessary focuses has to be on women, especially women with autism and other disabilities, because they have the least amount of resources. And life is hard enough for females. And it just so happens that a lot of the artists that I've been supporting are female artists. And I just want to say that they, this is my thinking. I think that the product that a lot of the female artists are putting out is superior to their male counterparts. They work really hard. They're diligent, very creative. I got to say, I just love the women that are part of my life and that we can work together. And it's just a beautiful thing to be part of. It's just, you know, it really is humbling.
It almost dovetails to the conversation about inequalities to the treatment of persons with disabilities, women in entertainment. And that's another whole different topic we could visit.
Oh, that's a whole different episode. Yeah.
But Zach Taylor, I mean, I imagine creating new HD media far trumps interviewing Paul McCartney, Robert Plant, and a whole host of people and icons you've been around for most of your professional career. Am I right?
I got to tell you, yes, it's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. And now when I reach out to artists, I have my daughter do the interview. So
good
she,
for you.
There's an interview with Sophie and Don McLean that is incredible. And I did kind of like message to Don McLean. I go, you know how we could all be curmudgeons, right? I said, please, you know, my daughter's going to interview you and just be patient. And I'm telling you, it is one of the best Don McLean interviews I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes. It's
looking
available
forward
on
to
YouTube.
I will post the link and the summary of this interview to share.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me. Anything else?
Yes, of course. As a pillar of the community, as a man of cloth, as a father, as a broadcaster, as a decent human being who cares, I thank you for creating a platform on behalf of the 65 million people out there with struggles/disabilities. What an incredible, incredible idea, execution, and a way to make people happy.
You know, I will just say this. It sums it up very easily. Love thy neighbor.
Yeah, Zach is such a great guy, right? Don't you want to hug him? Yeah. What a great platform that's benefiting so many. And just think about the DJs who are on new HD media. How great they feel. How emboldened. How confident and empowered they are. Just fantastic. You know, I remember working for a company back in the late 90s, it was the first website and magazine for persons with disabilities. It was called We, W-E, not O-U-I, We Media. And I had the distinct and incredible honor of interviewing persons all over the country and world. On the weekends, I would fly around and interview persons who are just change makers in the field. Persons with disabilities that were gearing up for the Paralympics in Sydney for 2000. And they wanted to share their story because they wanted to prove to the world what they were doing, show the world, share with the world what they were doing. And yes, they have a disability as well, but their story is important to them and they wanted to share it and yell from the mountaintops. And that's no different from new HD media because we all want a conduit in life to connect with people. Some people don't admit it, but of course, people need human interaction and connection. Obviously, we learned that no more apparently than during COVID, right? That's why I started doing the music and positivity, the mobile music and positivity, where I put giant speakers on top of my SUV and went to isolating senior facilities and played them music so they can feel whole and connected and feel like, yes, this is temporary and music is medicine. Medicine is movement, and it's just a one big cyclical event of positivity. I've never said that before like that. Not sure if it makes sense, but you get my drift. Anyway, check out newhdmedia.com. My name is Mark Farrell. What are you doing about social media and kids? I know they suggest that you should wait till your kid is 15 or 16, and the longer you can wait, the better off you are. Well, that's where I'm at right now with my 14-year-old. He's got very good grades, honor society. And we're like, listen, I want you to get through freshman year. I know you're mature. I know you're responsible. But I just want you to have your head on a little bit more. Because social media, there's not a lot of great things that come out of social media. So that's why my wife and I are like, yeah, we really can't be swayed on however you're trying to cajole us and convince us that you need to be on social media. We do allow him to be on YouTube because he is an instrumentalist drummer and his work needs to be seen. So his name is not public, but you wouldn't be able to find him, and that's why we like it that way. But for colleges and recruiters down the road, they'll be able to see his postings from, you know, years back and his archives of performances, and et cetera. So that'll be very, very handy. But I'm a firm believer that social media, there's not really a lot of great ramifications for people. I mean, I use it strictly for work. Rarely do I ever post anything personal about my family. And there's never a picture of my family on there because I just don't think it's relevant. I know a lot of people want to show pictures of their Johnny, Susie, and Juan, and Roberta, and their dog, and what their deck looks like because it snowed on there. Oh, I get it. Yeah, it snowed on my deck too, but you know, I don't need to share it with the world. Of course, everybody's different. But in terms of being the right age, what is the right age? I just think it's a per basis situation. The kid's got to be mature enough not to take at heart whatever nefarious activity, mean, hatred, unkind words get spewed their way. They need to be able to go, who cares? That person's an idiot. They don't know me. So when I know that my son or daughter can be like that, which I think they are like that, then I'll be like, okay, you can go on that dumb platform because you feel like you need to. And then you'll realize, okay, it's a dumb platform and you don't need to be on it. And that's cool. But I guess keeping them off of it may want them, have them rather longing for it more so than if they have it and rarely use it because they realize that, well, it's just kind of a bunch of crap. But anyway, that's where I stand on that. I wonder if you feel the same. And you have to do what works for you and what will benefit your child. Well, time is a ticking, man. We have flown through another hour on a Wednesday. Man, it is just great hanging out with you. I hope you get a lot of good information, a couple laughs, smiles, maybe a wink in the eye during the last 60 minutes. I certainly do. I can't thank you enough for keeping it right here on a Progressive Radio Network. We have a different viewpoint. Hopefully it's a refreshing one for yourself. And that's why you keep coming back to PRN.live. My name is Mark Farrell. Keep living and laughing. Have a great day.
Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM. PRN.FM. Have Mark speak at your company, your kid's school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs, and alcohol to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Aaron Sachs. Aaron Sachs, last name spelled S-A-C-H-S. Name of the book, once again, is Stay Cool, Why Dark Comedy Matters in the Fight Against Climate Change. My name is Mark Farrell. It's been a blast to be reunited with you. Again, let's do this and make this a point every Wednesday right here at 1 o'clock. Thanks so much to Dylan and for all his hard work and all the other staff at PRN. Thank you for keeping it right here, because there's a lot of great information, entertainment that really can benefit you greatly. My name is Mark Farrell. My friends, keep living and laughing.